Now we come to chapter 59 here, and here again is God's charge against Israel, and it should lead them to repentance. And then we have the coming of the Redeemer the second time. And this is really a very remarkable chapter. God continues his charge here, and he spells it out now. God refused to hear because of their iniquities, not because he was hard of hearing. Great many people think God's hard of hearing today. I have unanswered prayers. You mean God didn't hear you? He did hear you, but the problem is with us. Now, their sins are referred to 32 times in this chapter. Many words are used to describe their sins, like this: iniquities, sins, defile with blood, lies, perverseness, vanity, mischief, adder's egg, spider's web, viper, and works, violence, evil, wasting, destruction, crooked paths, darkness, transgressions, departing, oppression, revolt, conceiving, and uttering falsehood. 23 separate charges against them now God makes here. What a picture this is. And there is a day coming of national repentance for these people. By the way, the church should have something like that today. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem. And he tells about it in Zechariah 12th chapter, verses 11 through 14. I'll not read it, but it's a tremendous thing. Now you have the condemnation of Israel here in the first 8 verses. And God says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. The reason that Israel was not saved in that day was not due to any weakness on the part of the bared arm of Jehovah that we saw in the 53rd chapter. The Lord's hand is not shortened. It wasn't due to any faulty connection with his communication with man. It's not that man have mental hurdles to get over. It's not today that man have problems. But as Paul made it very clear in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, that it's your sins that have separated between you and God. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he'll not hear. Now, that's what Isaiah says. Alexander McLaren put it like this. It's not because God is great and I'm small. It's not because he lives forever and my life is but a handbreadth. It's not because of the difference between his omniscience and my ignorance, his strength and my weakness, that I'm parted from him. Your sins have separated between you and your God. And no man, build he Babel's ever so high, can reach thither. There is one means by which the separation is at an end, and by which all objective hindrances to union and all subjective hindrances are alike swept away. Christ has come, and in him the heavens have bended down to touch, and touching to bless. This low earth and man and God are at one once more. What a tremendous statement that is, friends. And now he goes on and spells out these sins. I'm not going through all of these verses. I hope you will. It's rather discouraging, but it's a picture of the human family and probably a picture of you and me today. Now, we have here in this second division, begins here, by the way, at verse 9, and you have the confession of Israel. That's coming when the Redeemer comes to Zion. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Now, you know, he changes pronouns here, and instead of your and their, it is we and our now. This is a confession. They confess they're in darkness. They confess that their religious rituals have all been a pretense. A lot of folk need to do that today. I played golf with a dentist and a broker in Tulsa, Oklahoma, some time ago. And the dentist, broker, both were telling how they were saved. Both of them members of a liberal, very rich liberal church. They were wealthy men. And One fellow one day says, you know, he says, I got tired of being a hypocrite. So I just went to the Lord and told him I was a hypocrite and I wanted reality. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. My, how that's needed today in the churches. Actually, a revival could come in the church. Now we have here this confession. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we roar all like a bunch of bears. My, they were just carrying on. But you see, they were in darkness. And when they made that confession, and are going to make it in the future, and these charges are very specific, and when their sin is confessed separately, it's labeled and repudiated, and confessions of sins today on the part of Christians should be specific and then repudiated. Each sin should be labeled and confessed privately as a sin. And if you read this here, each one of them, and I have no heart to go through their sins, have enough problem with my own. Now, the last, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Now, great many people say, well, you mean the whole nation will be saved? No, not all Israel's Israel. Only those who turn to God. And it's only been a remnant. And it's only a remnant in the world today. And I think actually a remnant in the church today that are actually saved. But the Redeemer is coming someday to Zion. And when he does, they are going to turn at that day to him. Zechariah told about that. He says, I'll pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications. And then now in conclusion, verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I put in their mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. God has made a covenant that the Redeemer's coming to Zion. There will never be a time when this promise will be entirely forsaken, because this is God's purpose. It will be fulfilled in His good time.